before the hour, and happy to welcome John Rowe, who was part of the final table and was a bit of a bobber up and down that leaderboard on Saturday and Sunday. Made the final 70, the semifinal, and just when it looked like maybe he was edging out and wasn't going to nose around to the top 10, all of a sudden there he was. It was like that scene in Searching for Bobby Fischer, John, because I was tracking you, and all of a sudden, up there he is. He's back up on the board. Congratulations on the great effort, 9th overall.
Thank you very much. It was my first tournament. I'm sorry. No. Yeah, it was the first really year I'd been in the tournament, and I ended up in Vegas, and what a ride. It was a lot of people tried to express to me in words what it's like, but you really can't understand it till you're there live.
Very much. And your story also mirrors Dan Hart's. It was Dan's first foray into into the contest world. He drove into the top 10. It start on the arrival and start on Friday, and you talk about the experience and the way you negotiated the difficulties that arise. Interesting few days.
Yeah. Well, we got there Wednesday just to try to case the place, and sure, feel our way around and stuff. Because I hadn't been to Vegas in 10 years. And so we went out a little bit on Wednesday night with some family. And Thursday they had that orientation, which was really cool. And then I pretty much had my stuff lined up for Friday. I hit a couple races. I think I was 58 points or something. So I was in the top third going into Saturday. And I was up late Saturday night late Friday night handicapping Saturday's card. And I just got on a roll Saturday. Just started hitting winners, left and right, and things were really looking great. I made the cut Saturday night, and I was in the top 70, and I was elated with that. I go, well, at least I'm going to walk away with, back home. Coming back home is 4 G's. And then Sunday I hit a couple races, and I hit the first race at Gulfstream, which threw me into the top 10, which was awesome. And a couple guys jumped over me and bumped me out of the top 10. And I hit my last race, my last horse, which was a story in itself that got me in the top 10 for good.
Go right to that, because that's exactly the point where I had seen that you had, moved in and then just as quickly had been squeezed out, and then when the final update went up, I was really pretty excited for you. Talk about how'd you hit the last? What was it?
Well, I don't know how much time you got.
I got 3 hours.
three hours. Well, it could take that long, but I'll try to micro compress it, put it in the racing form style. Last year was the roughest year for my wife and I in our entire lives. And it started out about a year ago. I was diagnosed with emphysema, which, okay, you're not going to smoke cigars no more, dude. You're done with that stuff, So we got some, medicine and stuff. And I started playing attorneys about a year and a half ago. I met John Doyle up in Del Mar. And we hit it off real good, and I'd never played a tournament before. So when I got back to Chicago, I'm from Chicago, and when I got back, I says, what the heck, it's a small world, because my daughter's boyfriend, he plays tournaments. He's been playing for a few years. I call him Uncle Nick. Even though he's younger than me, he's Uncle Nick, right? So he pretty much helped and coached me along through this stuff, so I got to throw some props at him. And he says, let's go, let's meet up. It was a $400 buy-in at Hawthorne, and we just, it was $400 just cash. So why not take $400 and go there and play? And I ended up just waiting and waiting and waiting until the second to last race. I hit a horse, and next thing I know, I'm in ninth place. You know, and it kind of freaked me out. I go, well, this, I said to myself, I go, well, what's so hard about this? You know, just because, little did I know, right? So, I'm the kind of player that I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to settle for ninth place. I'm not going to settle for fifth place. If I got a shot for first place in the last play, I'm going for it. Bomb or no bomb, you know, because, I mean, to me, what am I there for? So, anyway, I threw a little bit more at the windows, and I didn't get first place. I got bumped out of the top 10, so I liked it, and I started playing tournaments and stuff, and having, it's just been a blast of a year. So this emphysema, my son, through this all, this last June, my son, we got a phone call on a Friday night, and he was in a car accident, and my son's name is Joe, and 6 days later, he passed away. And it was tough, man.
Yeah.
It was real tough. It was the hardest thing that ever happened in our lives, my wife and mine. So we took about a month off of everything. And we went to Colorado on vacation. I didn't play any tournaments. I didn't even look. I didn't want nothing to do with anything. Got back and to work and all that stuff. And in August, I started playing again. You know, there was a tournament in Hawthorne. I says, I'll go to this live one. That's when I got my seat in Hawthorne. And what a night that was. I walked in with my bag, and my wife was on the couch, and I just looked at her. I says, we're going to Vegas! You know, and it was just, you know, I walked away with, at the tournament, I won it with a little over $2,000. There wasn't really that many people there, so yeah, I won the seat and kept playing, the rest of the year. We're still grieving and mourning our son's death, but, I just had this feeling something's going to happen. I keep playing, you know, my Lord kept telling me, keep playing. I said, all right. And I won the, entry online, the Keeneland Gambler, which was, well, before that, I went to Indiana Grand, and I had two entries I won. And it's hard playing two entries. It's really hard, you know. You're trying to keep [S2] Sure. [S1] Up with this thing, especially if it's a live pick and pray. And I'm still a rookie, and I'm trying to do my best. And I ended up on one ticket holding a play, which really, I don't know if I can say it, but it pissed me off. I go, dude, what are you doing? You got to get more organized, which I did, you know, and I won a seat to the Gambler. I went there. That was a live money contest. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
of course.
Yeah,
of course. Sure.
Yeah, that half a roll, you got to bet in the last two races. So that was, yeah, that was kind of ballsy. So, you know, I'm a minnow in this game. Don't get me wrong. I am so far from a shark. You know, I walked out of there with some money, you know, $3,500, which was nice, and things were going smooth. We were looking forward to this trip, and then in December I was diagnosed with liver cancer. So, very, very rare form of liver cancer, and that was in December. So of course, I quit my job. I'm a truck driver, and I just says, you know what, I can't be driving a truck with this. Too many tests and crap coming up, and that's all I've been doing since December. I've been playing some tournaments and keeping busy with that, and then I went to Vegas for this big one, and with my wife and some family members, because they knew everything that's happened to us. They met us up there, and I tried not to get distracted, and played the tournament. And I tell you what, it was, words can't describe how much fun I had. I'll tell you, I got to give a shout out to the Goodalls, the whole crew. They were just awesome. Great people. Everybody there was really, really great, man. It was like being having a family reunion with family members I never met, and some I already did know. I had met through the tournaments, you know, and it was just great. If you got a chance to go there, man, you go there. But that brings me right up to this last race that got me in. Now, I don't play names. I very seldom, you know. I mean, my wife's name is Kathy, and how many damn cat horses are there? I'd go broke. You know, betting horses named after her, and my son's name's Joe, and so on and so forth. I don't bet colors, and if someone does, God bless them, go for it, you know. But there was a horse named Miss You Joe, and that's the name of my son. And I, you know, the Lord's telling me, this is your horse. And I'm like looking in this form going, hey, he's got a shot. And it's just, the light is just, if you don't bet him, you'll kick yourself in the ass for the rest of your life. I says, okay. And I it was just a no-brainer. Miss You Joe. And it was down at the fairgrounds, third race, and Sunday morning. And he come out and took the lead. And I'm like, hold. And everything's been winning in a slop at fairgrounds in the lead. I'd have won a horse on Saturday with Bravo on, or Rocco, one of those two Joes. One of the two Joes, I even forget, my head's still spinning. So, yeah, Mr. Joe came in, man. He held on for first place, and it took everything in my power not to break down, you know, right there at that table. But I knew he got me in the top 10, Mr. Joe, and it all worked out good.
And that was one of the, that was the only, there were only three races at fairgrounds that could be used on Sunday during that semifinal period. And right, that was the last of the, not just the last of the fairgrounds races, but I think there was only two races run anywhere else. I think there was the Santa Anita race and the one Golden Gate race, and that was it. And that decided the final table. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was just, you know, my family didn't come down there in the room, but when I met up in the hotel room and told them the story, they were just a lot of tears, you know, and a lot of, you know, hey, we miss you, Joe. And it just seemed like, in fact, it's a fact. That horse got me into the top 10, and it's been quite a ride since then. It really has. It's been a trip, you know.
But, so great.
You ever been to Cicero?
Of course I've been to Cicero. I've been to many, many times to Hawthorne and to fly in and out of Midway. I used to work very regularly in Melrose Park all the time.
Yeah, I grew up in Cicero over on Laramie, right where the racetracks are. So,
sure.
And my dad owned a bar over there, so we ran into quite a bit of trainers and jockeys, and when the buggies were in town, I don't play the buggies, but when they're in town, you know, yeah, I grew up over there, so it was just part of your life, you know, and I ended up working on the backside, rubbing horses. I did that for about 5 years before I got married, and worked for T. Red Bernice, Neil Boyce, Jack Vanberg. I worked there for like a cup of coffee and then left after a week. John Oxley, Lynn Whiting before he had the big heart. So yeah, I worked for quite a few trainers and quite a few different tracks. It's been, most of us can say race, you know, race trackers, it's been a part of our life since we were kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Currently living in Brookfield. What kind of handicapping style, John? What do you use? How do you pin down a horse?
Well, I don't know. I started reading racing forms when I was like about 12, 11. So everybody can get all the same data. I don't know. I think that all race trackers, every horse player cooks their stew a different way, you know? And I don't judge anybody. Whatever works for you, whatever gets you a winner, as far as I'm concerned, keep at it, because it's so hard to win. But I'm pretty much a trip handicapper. I can get all the information you got on paper, and I can buy a bunch of stuff on the web that can help me with stats. But I like this. You can't put anything about a horse's heart on paper. You got to see it on a race. And I'll kind of glance at the paddock every once in a while in the post parade, but I work back there, and you better make sure your horse looks like a Cadillac when he hits the track. So I don't put much stock in that. I put it in the race. So I believe a horse, a winner. To me, John Henry was one of the best horses that ever run. He looked like a damn plow horse, but he had the heart the size of Texas. And that's what I try to look at in a race. If a horse is, just grabs a hold of that bit and says, "Get the hell out of my way. I'm going to kick your ass." That's the horse I want.
I love it. It's so
cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, you got, and you can't get that on paper. You got to see it on the track. And sometimes it gets bottled up. I like a horse that can just split horses and say, "Get the hell out of the way." Even if he bumps them, I don't care. If the stewards don't catch them, even better. Right, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, I've seen some horses take the lead and they get hooked, and they're just look. Henry was great, man. He looked you right in the eye and said, "You think you got a shot with me?" And probably the only horse I've seen win a race in a paddock with Cigar. You know, he come out and looked everybody in the eye, and they just looked the other way. You know, but at 1-9, I'm sorry, I can't play that. You know.
We're joined by John Rowe, and John, first year, he was one of four rookies that to NHC that made the final table, which is really a testimony, and frankly, you know, with you talking the way you are about horse appearance, that was one of the things that struck us with Chris Littlemore when we talked on Sunday night, because he is strictly a form player, nothing else, and then he does watch for horses on the track. He wants to see a lot of what you're referencing, John. He wants to see a horse that is on its toes or more, you know, that is really seemingly, you know, on the muscle. I mean, when I'm looking myself, I'm looking for an arched neck. That usually to me is a, you know, the bowed neck, chin tucked down, you know, like a boxer coming into the ring. And I'm hearing that from both you and from Chris on Sunday night.
Right. Yeah. It's good to catch some horses, especially in the big races. I mean, you'll see about three, maybe four of them
sure.
walking around like that. You know, I remember going down to Keeneland this last fall, and like Turnielle, the filly, she walked right by in a post parade, and it's like, no one's going to beat her. She's dappled out to the nines. You know, of course, I didn't play her, but, you know, I know they all look great in a post parade because... Excuse me. He looked great in the post parade because that's the groom's job, you know. And I just there's just something you can see, you can read in the race. There's so much stuff now with the computers and the websites that'll just pop out what they think's the winner, which is great, you know. And sometimes I'll even use that into my stew, as I say, when I'm making my stew. But it's not the main ingredient. For me, you know, like the whole weekend, I knew there was a lot of races to handicap. And I've really been, since I started playing these tournaments, been getting better and better at maiden races. They're real nice, you know. I mean, big fields, not much. You can speed handicap a maiden race pretty quick. It doesn't take you long. But when you got 10 horses and they each got 20 races apiece, I mean, I'm not going to watch no freaking 200 races, you know, replays. Sure. That's out of the world, you know. I might go back two, maybe three, so you can get a good handle on how this horse runs and why he lost, if he did, whatever race. Stuff that's not in the form, you know. But, yeah, I love watching replays. It's great.
When it came to focusing beside the the mandatories, where obviously they like to spread them around and they're going to use as many of the tracks as possible, did you gravitate to, you know, a certain pair of circuits or certain, what about surface and distance? You mentioned some of the wet weather. What was the approach when it came to the style of race that you preferred for your, particularly for your, you know, your non-mandatories?
Like I said, pretty much the first thing I did was go to the optionals and see if I can get a play out of that every race. You know, I don't like playing first. Excuse me.
All. So you looked at all eight tracks each day. You didn't sort of gloss over New York or Maryland. You went through every potential play that you could have considered.
Just, well, I prefer Gulfstream and the West Coast. And Aqueduct, too, you know, I mean, Fairgrounds, I used to race at Fairgrounds. I worked down there for John Oxley, you know, so I knew that track. I've never been to Gulfstream, but I've been really, really trying to fine-tune my play over there, and I love Santa Anita. You know, I follow them pretty regularly, and Aqueduct, but the fields are pretty short at Aqueduct, so...
Yeah, it was a bad weekend.
You know, it don't take much. I mean, you might be able to dig out a nugget in a seven-horse race, you know, and get a 9-1 shot, but they run pretty true to form out there, you know, and usually a 3-5 is... He's a 3-5, you know. Them boys are pretty good out in the East Coast. So I just look for maiden races. Every maiden race on the whole eight tracks. And if it was a bunch of first-time starters, I'd skip it. And if it was a small field, I'd usually take a look, but not really study it. I was going for big fields of maidens. You know, once I got that out of the way, then I just started focus on the tracks I like, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, you know. Of course, Golden Gate, because it's on the back end. And if you need something on the back end to do some jumping, you know, you better have something in store. I had 3 bullets left at the end of the contest almost every day, you know.
So you held back then, and interesting. And it's funny because Golden Gate, I said repeatedly that as we were, you know, going through the days, the Tampa and Golden Gate ended up being really productive. And, you know, Golden Gate, not necessarily a track that I think a lot of those players look at on a regular basis. And they had terrific opportunities. And you weren't intimidated by the synthetic?
Oh, no. Well, Arlington Park is synthetic.
That's right. That's right. You're used to looking at it. That's a good point. That's right.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I was really into horse racing when I was working on the racetrack. And when I met my wife, she had 2 kids. So I had to kind of, you know, I would bet the big races, you know, of course, the Derby and the Breeders' Cup, but the rest of the time I was working my ass off. I'm a truck driver, and I'm driving 6 days a week. Don't have much time, you know. So when the kids flew the coop, I was like, I had time. So I started, you're talking about a gap of about 20, 25 years where I didn't really follow them. But when I started getting back in, so now you got to relearn who the hell are all these trainers, who the hell are all these jockeys. The whole game had changed in 20, 25 years. So I was pretty much basically just a pick six player before I did tournaments. I was trying to hit the pick six, and I had to acclimate myself back into all that stuff. You know, who the hell is this Peter Miller? You know, I knew Baffert, of course, who doesn't? And, you know, so on and so forth, you know. So it took a few years to figure out their training styles and how these jockeys ride and all that other good stuff. But it's almost like riding a bicycle. I mean, everybody knows how to ride a bike. It's just that the bikes have changed in 20 years. You know?
Sure.
But, you know, when I met John Doyle, I don't know if you know John.
Of course.
He's an awesome dude, man. He's the one I met in Del Mar, and hit it off, him and his wife and my wife, and it was just a great time. And he's the one that got me interested into the tournaments. He says, you know, that's where you're going to make any decent money is the tournaments. So, yeah, I tell you, it's been a wild ride. And there's one coming up this weekend. It's time to try and get another seat, you know.
Well, once you go, John, everybody says you get to Vegas the first time and it becomes obsession. You have to get back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. You know, like I said before, the third time I'll say it again, words can't express. So if you got a shot to get there, you want to come back every year. It's just it's a total blast. They really take care of you over there, and it's fun. Plus, I'm retired now, you know, because of the cancer. So I got a lot of time to be doing handicapping. Yeah, my wife says, well, that's your new job. Stick at it. You know, I says, you got it. So it's good to have, you know, my better half on my side, too. I'm sure there's millions of guys whose wives or husbands give them a hard time about this stuff, but I'm blessed that my wife's on board. It's pretty cool.
Well, just as long as she understands, you're not necessarily bringing home checks for $52,000, you know, every couple of weeks.
Well, no. I'd be happy every couple of months. You know, no, that's what's great about this life is because if I can't win it, I hope you win it. You know,
that's it.
I mean, my buddy Nick, he lives up in Rosemont, and I, you know, he's the one that's really coached me. And he'd say, man, you can't make those plays when you're in this spot. You'll have to do this when you're in that. It's a whole different way of playing horses when you're in tournaments. There's a strategy involved in the hand. It's a lot of work. That Johnny Doyle told me, he goes, it's hard work, and he wasn't lying.
And on that topic, I mean, health-wise, it had to be pretty demanding on you Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I'm real thankful that my family was understanding, and they just left me alone up in the room. So I pretty much didn't leave the hotel. I mean, everything you need's right there anyway. So I just, True. It was either play or, you know, hell, Saturday night I got home because that was my big day, and I crashed out after about an hour and a half. I needed rest, you know, so I could be ready for I started handicapping at 4 a.m. on Friday. I mean, Sunday, I mean. So, yeah, it's a grind, but it's a fun grind, you know.
Well, I guess
I'm very happy and blessed that I finished where I am. But in this tournament, Chris was the Michelangelo. You know, he put the time in for the painting, and he ended up with the he ended up with, I guess, every single one of us. And if your goal wasn't to be in first place, then I don't know what, you know, why were you there? At least that's the way I look at it. The competition's great.
Yeah, and you mentioned the good alls and all the support you got. And, you know, I heard about your situation and about, you know, what a remarkable story it was. And this was on Friday. This wasn't even when you were knocking on the door of making the semi and the finals. And so, you know, we didn't meet, but I was rooting along and am just delighted for the way it went, John. Really one of those encouraging stories, and it's very heartening. And you know, basically the game can be, you know, such a great outlet, and you know, it's with everything that's gone on for you and the family the past year, to have this, you know, kind of a chapter written, really makes you feel good.
Oh yeah, we got bombed with texts and phone calls and stuff from family and friends and people we know. It's been great, and it's saved the ticket, Miss You Joe. I got that up in my, see, I got this china cabinet that's loaded with horse memorabilia, freaking Kentucky Derby glasses, all kinds of little tidbits that I've collected along my life with horses. And yeah, it's a great game. It's the best game there is. And love sitting down talking with a race tracker, but less than a whole room full of them, that was just like all the Martians. Had, my wife told me during the banquet, she goes, I don't know, I really like all you guys, but you're a weird bunch. I go, oh, yeah, we are a weird bunch, man.
That's really true. It's very accurate.
Oh, man, I tell you, the table that I sat at, it was just, it was a laugh factory, you know? And I was with the good all crew, and I shout out to those guys because they're awesome. And Anthony from Australia, he's my Australia party man. He was, I love the guy. And then there was Peter the Kid. And he, I don't know how old he was, but he wasn't. I'm 60, so he probably was in his early 30s. But, you know, kudos to him for making that, you know, for just making the NHC. For, you know, I was happy just to make the NHC.
Sure.
You know, and there was another guy. I go, what's your name? He goes, my name's Asshole. All right, it's Asshole, because I can't think of that one. And he had us all roaring. And, it was great, you know.
It's a nonstop. All the tables, wherever you go, the ups and downs, and you know, the ribbing of each other, and you know, the celebrations, and then the you talk about self-deprecating humor. Unbelievable!
Yeah.
It's great. Just great.
Well, it's kind of like a, my grandkids love amusement parks, and I do too. But it's kind of like an amusement park ride, because you can feel that the coaster going way up slowly, and all of a sudden on Friday morning, it shoots down, and it doesn't stop until Sunday, the last race. What a ride, you know. So I can't wait to get back.
Well done, John. I've got a very important Chicagoland question, though, for you. Your favorite Italian beef joint?
There's the place downtown that we go to. It's on Taylor Street. And Al's. I don't know if you're familiar with Taylor
Al's
Street.
Al's Beef.
No, that's not the place. I knew you were going to say that. Because that's what everyone's going to go to. But no, Al runs a good beef. He does throw out a good beef, and I'll eat there. But there's a little place just west of that. It's called The Patio. Now, I know The Patio's got all these franchises. It's not a patio franchise. This place's been there for, I mean, he's got pictures of Frank Sinatra up there signed and all kinds of crap, you know. And his jukebox is loaded with the Italiano, no music. You don't know what that means. But no, it's called The Patio. It's a little bitty place. We go out of our way to have a beef there, but it's the best. I mean, you take a bite and that juice is just dripping down your leg. I mean, dripping, not, I don't mean my leg. That's that freaking newscaster dude just talking. Dripping down your arm. What am I talking about? The juice dripping down your leg. Whoa. We might have to go XXX on this, but no. It is. It's the best beef for me in town.
Patio. All right.
Pizza, deep dish or thin crust?
Thin crust for me.
Same here. I mean, I'll eat a deep dish because my wife likes it, but that's like having a... I'm not going to rip on deep dish people. They can have their deep dish. I'm thin crust. You know,
where do you go?
So where do I go for thin crust? Oh, we got a ton of them around here. You know, well, I grew up in Cicero. I just kept moving a few towns west because, hey, I'm in the dust. Chicago, things are getting crazy. You know, a cop got shot here a couple of days ago.
I saw the news last night. Very sad. A captain, right?
The commander.
Commander.
Saw so, that. Things are crazy out here. You know, I'm not trying to keep anybody away, but so I just keep moving further out west, you know. So,
I hear you.
But yeah, we got a few places around here we go to, you know.
It's a great town. It's a great, yeah, great place.
A lot of fun.
John, this was a lot of fun, and I am delighted for you. I know that you play on horse tourneys. Where else?
DRF, I play on, play their tournaments, and of course, horse players, you know, but I like the live ones, you know, that's what I try to shoot for, is those live tournaments. As far as shooting for a seat online, there's just too many things can happen, too many people, you know, I don't know. I just shoot for those live tournaments. I play a little better with live cast, so you got better options, you got tries, and the one at Hawthorne is crazy because you can use any track, any kind of bet. And
very popular, the Hawthorne contest series is, people seek it out for that reason, and you can play supers. Yeah, there's a lot of places you can't do that, and but it's freewheeling. You can play multis. Heard the story of who was it?
Mike Ferrazzo, if I got it correct, but
yes.
Shout out. Yeah, he hit that pick six last
the
year.
Rainbow. Yeah.
It popped up 79 G's. I'm like, yeah, it's over.
Yes.
You know, I took a few more swings and went home.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the Wild Wild West. Anything goes, man. I get all those if I can, you know, and then I try to feeders into whatever live money, you know, I can get into. But I'm still learning, and I guess I'm not a rookie no more. But
no.
Yeah, I'm still learning, and that's what's great about the game, and especially these tournaments that I just picked up on. You know, there's so much to learn. You just keep learning and learning and tweaking this, and you know, you learn. You get your ass kicked in this area. It's like that ain't gonna happen again. You know, and
that's right.
Yeah, you know, and you just keep learning, which is awesome because I, you know. All of us guys like putting puzzles together, and the more demanding the puzzle is, the more competitive you're going to get. So,
well, John, I wish you the best. Watch the health and take care, and years of success and pleasure playing the game and getting back year after year to the NHC.
Thank you much. Thanks for. For everything. I mean, I'm a fighter, man, you know, and I'm going to fight this cancer with everything I got, and I'm going to, at the same time, go on with my life, you know, and I hope to be back here, but next time with two seats. You know?
That's it. There you go. And you'll master that, you know, that situation too. Cause that, like you said earlier, that is a challenge playing two cards. That's, the layers of knowledge and experience. And you've already finished ninth in this. So you got a narrow, band to improve your position.
Yeah. So, well, that's something my dad always taught. He was a gambler, my father. And like I said, he owned a bar right on Laramie over there. And he told me, he says, never bet your rent money, son. And I never have. You know, he owned a couple of horses, cheap claimers and stuff. They never went. Poker was his game. But he said, take your lead and improve your position.
Jay Pribman. That's the Jay Pribman line. Went to the front and improved his position. That's good advice.
Any
walk of life.
Decades ago when I was a little kid, well, at Sportsman's, that's usually was the way you rode.
That's for sure.
Position. That was a wild track, you know.
Yep.
But, he got me started in the game before they had the computer. They had racing forms. My dad had racing forms in the garage. Okay, and he had them organized from January 1st up to December 31st. He bought one every day. They were like a quarter, 20 cents, you know, and there were newsstands all over. You got a picture in Chicago back in the day. And He had them stacked up every day for 10 years, organized in his garage. And he'd tell my brother, in the middle of the winter, it didn't matter. He says, go out there and get 1962 and 63. All right. We bring these racing forms to the snow. You better not drop them. You better not drop 1 month. And you bring them in, stack them up, and him, my brother, and me would just go over trying to figure out a system. Well, what if a horse wins and he gets claimed and he step him up in class? That's not a bad angle. Let's see how that works after 2 years. So we were up all night long doing this crap, you know?
Unbelievable.
And that's how I learned how to handicap between those two guys.
Well.
And unfortunately, they both passed away. But I think between them two and my son, I believe God just pulled the curtain back and said, hey, take a look at this guy. And I hope they were up in the grandstands or in front. I know they were. So
sure they were.
It's been a blast, man.
John, this has been a blast. And I got a lot of responses from players already saying how much they've enjoyed hearing the story. And everybody, all players everywhere will be rooting for you. And stay well. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. And hope to see you back there next year.
Without fail. You got it. John Rowe, ninth this year in the NHC, coming in from Chicago, from Brookfield, and gosh, look at that list of experiences that he's had. Unbelievable. Working on the racetrack and then over the road and through family difficulties and health issues and sees it through. Let's take bottom of the hour timeout. 90 in, 90 to come. Steve Haskins is going to join us next. We also have got visits with Tom Quigley, speaking of NHC. Quigley was there. I never saw him. he was down in the race book. We'll talk to Quigley and Rich Eng as well. Rich Eng, we did see. Stay with us. A lot more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 15 minutes to fill out on this Wednesday, and I hope you enjoyed that recorded segment with John Rowe, the late John Rowe, that really made for a very special story at NHC last year, and undoubtedly he'll be honored and remembered next month when we're all together in Las Vegas at the Treasure Island. And Seth Merrow is going to be there. Seth's first foray out to the National Handicapping Championship. And we couldn't get to Seth last week. Seth was sick. It was a very bad opening week of the year because Johnny has been laid up as well. And we can turn to Seth Merrow and say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too, and to all your listeners. Hope everybody had a happy one. I mean, I was happy. I was under the weather. I spent a little time Christmas with my sister down in Arkansas and nephews and their kids and whatnot, so that was a lot of fun. My sister has a nice VRBO right down there. She's way out in the woods, but right down the little valley and kind of across, it's walking distance. She's got the lodge at Winslow, which is like staying in a 5-star hotel. So I stayed there, sat in the hot tub every day. People are looking for like a getaway. I think it sleeps like 12, and there's a couple outfield buildings. You can sleep like 20, so little VRBO, the lodge at Winslow. I'm just going to plug.
That's fine. Absolutely.
I'm snake bit when it comes to airlines. On the way back, I got stuck in Charlotte, missed the connection, so they put me up in a hotel. I was supposed to get out 9 the next morning, and the flight didn't leave until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And as I'm sitting in the waiting area, the terminal, I could feel it's like, oh, I'm getting something. And sure enough, by the time I got back, it was full blown, and so got some antibiotics over the weekend, though, and I'm on the road to recovery. It's just barely hanging on.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, let's go back to the lodge at Winslow. $450 a night.
It sleeps 12. I mean,
that's okay. Oh, so it's $450. It's $450 for everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so you could bring like 8 people, and so it's
Yeah, that's the game plan. You're going like a corporate retreat, or you got college friends, and you want to go down and watch an Arkansas game. And there's a swimming pool, there's 2 hot tubs.
Interesting.
Believe me, yeah, it's nice. You got a family reunion. A lot of people do a family reunion, and you are nice. You're secluded out in the woods. Out there in northwest Arkansas, but you're probably about 20 minutes away from Fayetteville, which is a college town, nightlife, entertainment. So
it's like I carried away.
Yeah, it's highly recommended.
I'm just now. I'm pulling back on the map, and not far from Fort Smith. Okay, Basically, it's between Fort Smith and Fayetteville.
Exactly. Yep.
Right on the corner of the Ozark National Forest.
Yeah, and you got the now I'm forgetting it, but the Walmart family has built that really nice museum, which is probably 40 minutes away or so. So a little bit of culture you can throw in. It's nice. Highly recommend it. Again, folks can go to VRBO, the lodge at Winslow. Do just what you did. Pull it up, take a look, and you will. You'll have a place to go, as they say, a family reunion, a corporate retreat, whatever you have in mind.
VRBO.com, and boy, I'm you're about an hour and change from Tulsa, and
exactly.
About an hour and 20 minutes from Hot Springs, and Boy, the everything you could want. You're by the Ozark Forest. You're north of the Ouachitas, the Ouachita National Forest. This is very helpful, and you can go up to Springfield, Missouri, as well, directly north, where there's one of the strangest food service cultures anywhere in the country. Everywhere in Springfield, there are cashew chicken restaurants. It's the weirdest. I kid you not. Everywhere you go,
it's
cashew
like
chicken.
Buffalo and beef on weck.
Somewhat. If any of you that are listening that know Springfield are laughing your ass off about cashew chicken. It's a mystery. I don't know if it originated there or if somewhere in China there's a sister city that I don't get it. It's bizarre. Cashew chicken. The cashew chicken capital of the world. Seth, I suppose we should ask you about your Eclipse voting, because you're now a voter in the last few years, a couple of years, and I hope you're outraged about something. That goes over big.
I don't think I really am outraged about anything. I was pretty much...
You never are.
pretty much the top three were... right along with my top three in most categories. And it was funny. I mean, as I voted and then as it came out, it played out that way. There are some categories this year that are slam dunks. I mean, you have game winner, two-year-old, and the three-year-old's obviously justified. We don't Philly, Montemoy, girl. Then there are some categories I think are going to be a lot of fun. And I may be on the outside looking in on a few of them. You and I talked, towards the end of the year about this. I went with Accelerator's Horse of the Year. I have no argument with Justify. I mean, the categories where I'm on the outside looking in, between the top two, I have no argument which way it goes. But two-year-old Philly, I went paper record over Chip Walk. And then there are some categories that's just going to be interesting to see where they go. The older dirt female, I think, is interesting. The female sprinter is going to be interesting. Female turf horse, I went against my own, kind of rules. I don't like horses coming over from Europe and putting in the one start. I just thought Enable was such a different and unique story. I voted for Enable over Sister Charlie. But normally, A, I don't like the one start of a European because I think it's more of an American award. And B, I don't like to vote for an abbreviated season like that. But as I say, she was just such a unique kind of a story overall that I kind of rewarded them for taking the shot there. So, as I say, I'll be interested to see some of these categories and the direction folks go. I think on a my problem on the outside looking in.
Fair enough. Just curious. Thought see what you thought. Let me. Wonder,
of course, that's another interesting one. I went with Glorious Empire because they gave him a little credit for getting in that last start down in Florida at the end of the year. But Stormy Liberal, I mean, will people vote for a turf sprinter? That's going to be
a lot did.
Category too. Yeah,
a lot of people did. A lot of people did, and the case was made for him right away. Starting in November, people were saying, "Hey, why not?" You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only. There were just a couple of little nuancey things. I preferred Good Magic as the third three-year-old male to Catholic Boy. I preferred Mischief, Maximus Mischief to Nix Go, K Nix Go. That's a splitting hair. I didn't get Expert Eye at all that was not a good division of the mile. So rewarding him for winning the mile is a little that's kind of nutty. And I also thought, given maybe I don't know, Mind Your Biscuits, Gunrunner ran in the Pegasus, big deal. That's sort of an ancillary. 2017 start. That's not a 2018 start. I mean, just because it's in the calendar year, it's really a tack on to the previous year. And so to put him in as a finalist when you could have put Mind Your Biscuits, who I thought had a very ambitious campaign,
You know?
I thought Diversify in there, and my third pick in the trainer category was Rick Violette, because a lot of those categories,
that's nice.
When I get down to the third spot, I'm just looking to put a name in there that maybe deserves a little recognition. And so I tossed both of those in the mix, yeah.
I use the third selection a lot of times as a tip of the cap too, and like for instance in female sprinter this year, I went to Vertical Oak. Vertical Oak had a very very good year, and why shouldn't she at least get a little hey nicely done? I agree. Instead of I went Sister Charlie, Raving Beauty, and Four Star Crook. Four Star Crook was wonderful this year.
Yeah. Right from early on, the race over at Tampa.
Yeah, I did a few of those myself. My third trainer was Brad Cox after Chad and Baffert.
Oh, with the Monomoy Girl season, that's
well, not just Monomoy Girl. You realize he, you know, this was the year he came in with no grade ones in his career, and then promptly won like six. It was a special year for Brad Cox, and I mean, Steve Asmussen, by his own admission, would tell you this wasn't a vintage year for him. For him to be a third, the third finalist in there, I thought was. And this was not his not a great year from, by his standards. Anyway, so there it is. Just a couple of minutes, Seth. Have you had a chance to look ahead to tomorrow at Aqueduct with the Naira Betts Pick 5 carryover and so forth?
I did look at Aqueduct because we're doing the handicappers court in a few minutes for tomorrow. So I do have Aqueduct for tomorrow.
You're my hero. Let's run through real quick. I'll give it more detail tomorrow, but a quick rundown.
All right, so we're looking late pick 5?
Yeah.
Fourth race, that'll kick it off. Maiden specials, had it 6, 1, 2, and 5. Get Your Mind Right. But just maybe overmatched and maybe the wrong surface last time in that Columbia down at Tampa. Now, those were earlier in the year. Does the horse come back ready to run? I thought the two workouts, most recent workouts, were okay. So a horse with some early speed, having shown some talent early in the career, I put that one on top. I'm not sure I'm buying into the 8-5 price off the layoff, but I do have that one on top. Iona Miobi, I'm assuming is the pronunciation. I went back to the career debut at Keeneland. That was last year. The two starts this year kind of indicate this is a horse that maybe has some problems, but I'm hoping now getting to string a couple together, maybe we'll get back to a better performance. And then into a hot spot, and Starry Rose, I like the sire of both of those. I think the win early sires. Intimus, she's had a couple of tries, but seemed to show some speed and maybe improvement last time. And Starry Rose by McLean's Music interests me as well. So the 4, 6, 1, 2, and 5. Fifth race, I want 5, 1, 4, and 2. The number 5, Party in the Sand, goes out for Charlie Baker. To me, you can maybe go too deep in here between Party in the Sand and Free Kitty. I just thought Party in the Sand, maybe in a little bit better form than Free Kitty, but it looks like those two in the fifth, 5, 1, 4, and 2. Sixth race, I have it 6, 1, 2, and 3. Jeremiah has Too Hot Betty, 3-1 on the morning line, and came back off a long layup and won nicely at a 16 level. I think off of that race, the move up, and just looking at the rest of the field, is not going to be difficult for this one. Courageous Queen underneath for Todd and Mike Rapoli on the class for lead. So sixth race, I have it 6, 1, 2, and 3. In the seventh, I went 5, 1, 8, 2, Hall Anchor on top. 4-1, but it's second off the claim for Rudy. Big win at the 12-5 level. Now comes back up to the level of the claim, but it just seems like an improved effort. First off the claim is going to put this horse right in the thick of things, even with the move up. Peter's Project, I almost put this one on top. I'm just negative on the move from Finger Lakes to Naira most of the time. But, boy, this horse just seems to be in good form despite that. So the seventh race, 5, 1, 8, and 2. And we wrap it up, race number 8. I went the 1 entry, 6, 9, and 7. Okay, Honey and Pendolino. I'm not thrilled about either of these, but I thought Pendolino off the last start, that the number was pretty good, stacks up nicely with this bunch. And a first-time starter by Central Banker from Mark Hennig, Wall Street Annie, might come out and be ready to roll. Kathy's Cause, of those that have raced, I think, second best to Pendolino number-wise, so I had to throw that one in as well. So in the eighth, the 1-3, 6-9, and 7.
Excellent. Well, the only name I want to throw out is in that seventh. You mentioned Hennig with the first-time starter in the nightcap, although that horse entered back. She's going to run. She's not going to run, Seth. She's going to run Friday, so you can scratch Wall Street Annie. But Hennig's got local counsel in the seventh that has got my attention. And, you know, this is a mile and an eighth. And she actually, you know, has gone a mile and an eighth. And, you know, quite a few of them have not. Local council, 9-2, I know is going to be a big part of my play in that feature tomorrow at Aqueduct. 35,000, I think, in the pick five, and 26,000 in the pick six. Carryovers for a Thursday as racing resumes at the Big A. And Seth Merrow appearances resume here on at the races. Have a great year. Yes, you're on the show. Seth Merrow, everybody. Seth Merrow. No, absolutely. Seth Merrow 2 on your Twitter and equidaily.com and on Capital OTB. He is the face of GoTV. We'll send you out into the race day. And I want to thank Seth and want to thank Sid, of course, as well, and Pete Fornital, and honor the late John Rowe as well. If you're playing today, what do we got? Charlestown, Delta, Gulfstream, Mahoning, Penn National, Tampa, the Paradise of Turf in Phoenix as well. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. We'll talk to you 9 o'clock tomorrow if you missed anything. Website for archive and stream and podcast and replay tomorrow, 6 a.m. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Go killing all the bees.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year. and it's available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why brisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.